Okay. That was a terrible tragedy. Lord, thank you. And Lord, we do lift up all those families that were affected. And we just pray that even through that tragedy, you would make yourself known in comfort and reality to those who remain. Rule and overrule, Lord, and touch lives as only you can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing our reading, we are in Exodus chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38. Then he made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide, square, and 3 cubits high. And he made its horns on its 4 corners, its horns being of 1 piece with it. And he overlaid it with bronze. And he made all the utensils of the altar, the pails and the shovels and the basins, the flesh hooks and the fire pans. He made all its utensils of bronze. And he made for the altar a grating of bronze network beneath, under its ledge, reaching halfway up. And he cast 4 rings on the 4 ends of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. And he made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. And he inserted the poles into the rings on the sides of the altar with which to carry it. He made it hollow with planks. Moreover, he made the laver of bronze with its base of bronze from the mirrors of the serving women who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then he made the court. For the south side of the hangings of the court were of fine twisted linen, 100 cubits, their 20 pillars and their 20 sockets made of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. And for the north side there were 100 cubits, their 20 pillars and their 20 sockets were of bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. And for the west side there were hangings of 50 cubits with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The hooks of the pillars and their bands were of silver. And for the east side 50 cubits. The hangings for the one side of the gate were 15 cubits with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And so for the other side. On both sides of the gate of the court were hangings of 15 cubits. With their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. All the hangings of the court all around were of fine twisted linen, and the sockets for the pillars were of bronze, the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver, and the overlaying of their tops of silver. And all the pillars of the court were furnished with silver bands. And the screen of the gate of the court was the work of the weaver. Of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. And the length was 20 cubits and the height was 5 cubits, corresponding to the hangings of the court. And their 4 pillars and their 4 sockets were of bronze. Their hooks were of silver. And the overlaying of their tops and their bands were of silver. And all the pegs of the tabernacle and of the court all around were of bronze. This is the number of the things for the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were numbered according to the command of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. Now Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And with him was Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a skillful workman, and a weaver in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linen. All the gold that was used for the work, and all the work of the sanctuary, even the gold of the wave offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And the silver of those of the congregation who were numbered was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A beka, a head, that is half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for each one who passed over to those who were numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 603,550 men. And the 100 talents of silver were for casting the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil. 100 sockets for the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars and overlaid their tops and made bands for them. And the bronze of the wave offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels. And with it he made the sockets of the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the bronze altar, and its bronze grating, and all the utensils of the altar, and the sockets of the court all around, and the sockets of the gate of the court, and all the pegs of the tabernacle, and all the pegs of the court all around. Thus reads the Word of God. Exodus 38:21. This is the number of the things for the tabernacle of the testimony, as they were numbered according to the command of Moses for the service of the Levites by the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. This morning's reading details all the items used in the setting up of the tabernacle of God. There is precision and detail in a cataloging of each element that was to be used within the service of the priest unto the Lord God Almighty. There was a lot of time and effort and expense put into getting everything in order for the tent of the tabernacle of the Lord to be put together in full accordance with the guidelines and the stipulations required by God. After all was done in accordance with the pattern and dictates of the most holy requirements, the tabernacle, God's dwelling place with his people, was finally completed. In Numbers 9:15, we are told of what happened on the day that it was finished. Numbers 9:15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle and the tent of the testimony. And in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. As a matter of fact, as we will read together in Exodus 40:33-35 in the near future, when the tent of meeting was first completed, God's glory so intensely filled it that none could enter it for a period of time. Exodus 40, verses 33-35. And he erected the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and hung up the veil for the gateway of the court. Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's very presence with his people was so desired that the nation had erected the tent of meeting with the every aspect as would honor God. There was a realization throughout the encampment of the Israelites that God desired to commune with them within the tabernacle of his design. They were a blessed people to so know the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He was physically represented in their presence within the structure that was their source of communication and communion with him. The psalmist in Psalms 15:1-2 would later write as to the truth of what this entailed within the hearts and beings of those who were so blessed to know God. Psalms 15:1-2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. There was an abiding knowledge within the people of God that everything about them was different because they served the one true living God. As such, they had come unto him not in their sin, but in their humble contriteness of heart and mind and being. They had to acknowledge that it was only by His grace and His mercy and His love that they could have any knowledge of His presence in their midst. They knew that they were not perfect in any measure. All the continual need for the sacrifices and the washing and burning of incense reinforced that truth. However, unlike the other nations of the earth, they did have a means of coming unto the living and holy Lord God, as they would continually offer Him those sacrifices that would show that they wanted to honor and to reverence Him above all else. This then brings us to the work of Jesus Christ and what He represents now in the perfection that He instituted through His death and resurrection. As the nation of old was dealing with the tabernacle made by the work of man's hands, so now are we brought into the tabernacle, which has always been and will forever be, in the faultlessness and the precision of the work of Jesus Christ. He has made our hearts to be the tabernacle of God, His place of indwelling love and grace and mercy. Please open in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Here we can read of this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Second Corinthians 5, 1 through 9. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. What was the Old Testament type has become the New Testament reality of our living relationship with Him at all times. His glory, as it indwelled the tent of meeting and eventually the stone structure of the temple, is now indwelling each one of us. We are made in Jesus Christ, the living temple of God on this earth. He abides within us as the temple of God, He abides within us as the tabernacle of God with man is now accomplished because of the perfect work of His only begotten Son. The writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews 8, 1 and 2, highlights the measure of the work of Jesus as our perfect high priest who ministers within the lives of those whom He has redeemed. Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. We are made by the very working of God to be what has always been His heart in the creation of humanity. We are His people who desire to know Him in all the fullness of His perfect holiness and righteousness and honor, giving continual glory to His name for what He has done. Why are we gathered today? It is to give glory to His name for what He has done. I was blessed this morning in our early prayer when I was informed by a most beloved one that she had been spending the whole morning praising the Lord, glorifying Him, honoring Him. That should be who we are and how we are every moment of the day. That is the reason that mankind was created with an internal need to worship. There is an indwelling requirement within the very being of each person to offer praise and worship to God. The sad part is that at the fall of man in the garden, that focal point was twisted and perverted to seek anything other than God. It became the need to exalt ourselves over the Lord God Almighty, rather than desiring to walk with God and to fellowship with Him. We promoted ourselves as needing nothing else in this life except that which we create with our own hands. We lost ourselves in the idolatrous lusts and cravings after fame, fortune, self-exaltation, and prideful arrogance over all others. That is why the Lord had to establish a type of true worship, a place for man to come to know a bit of what it meant to pray and to praise and to offer thanksgiving and to know the presence of the one true Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth. It was all as a shadow of that, of what would ultimately take place in the perfected sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Again, the writer to the Hebrews details this for us. If you would please turn to Hebrews 9, 1 through 12, and follow along as we read it together. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Hebrews 9. Now even the first covenant had regulations of divine worship and the earthly sanctuary, for there was a tabernacle prepared, the outer one, in which were the lampstand and the table and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which there was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things have been thus prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The writer describes what was necessary for the entry into the Holy of Holies just once a year by the high priest alone. There was so very much that was in place just for a single annual coming into the presence of God by the one man. Yet in the face of all those requirements, there was the continual need to do them over and over and over again, year after year after year. It was all a stopgap symbolic representation of that which was to come, as Jesus would institute a more perfect and eternal sacrifice that would satisfy beyond all measure and all comprehension the just and perfect requirement of God's holiness. The work that Jesus accomplished was in his freely offering himself to become our sin on the cross. He took our guilt and our shame upon himself in order to pay the required price of our sin and our trespasses, which resulted in our complete redemption unto God. In fact, it went far beyond the stupendous miracle of redeeming us. In him, he made the avenue of our acceptance before God at all times into the reality of our being included into the very family of God. In Christ, we are the adopted children of God, fully incorporated into all that this adoption entails, with all its privileges and its inheritances throughout the ages of ages to come. All of eternity will be insufficient to detail and to describe what the Lord God Almighty has done through the very love and mercy and grace that has been so richly poured out upon us in the giving of his only begotten Son. Not only that, but all the requirements and all the stipulations of the Old Testament practices have been forever dealt with by the faultlessness of the work of Jesus for us. We are made to be those living tabernacles of the indwelling Lord God Almighty, in whom He dwells, and He communes, and He fellowships, and He works to build a relationship of unity and love and acceptance and commitment and holiness. All that He created has the ultimate needs of humanity. He chooses to meet and to fulfill by His indwelling presence. This could only and forever be in place by His operation of grace and mercy. Our final passage is found in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. In it, we have the disclosure of all that is the heart of God from before eternity began. He knew that the only measure in which the complete fellowship with His created beings could come into fruition was through their willingly seeking to know Him in the perfection provided through His atoning work by His Son and His Holy Spirit. It is the united expression of His complete essence of love shown in such an emptying of Himself for you and for me. He chose to come to us. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." All the joy of the eternity of heaven is expressed in knowing God in the full reality of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, the Lamb who was slain for you and for me. It is in Him that the tabernacle of God comes into the very heart of humanity and is expressed in the every detail of our lives. What will be true is absolutely detailed in this passage. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This is the course of what we will find in the relationship which we share together in Him, with Him, and through Him with our Heavenly Father. So be it, and amen.